We come to something we've come to celebrate this morning, the holy sacrament of baptism of Presley Sophia and Byron Neal Moddart. And it is a great joy, and we're thankful for this wonderful privilege. And before we administer the sacrament, I want to take a few minutes and explain what we're doing here and to help us understand the significance and the meaning of this sacrament and why we're doing it. I want to look at a couple question and answers from the Heidelberg Catechism. Now, you can find that in the back of your hymnal. We're going to look at a couple question and answers on page 883 and 884. Now, I'm going to read questions 69 and 70 and 72 and 74. But question 69. How does holy baptism remind and assure you that Christ's one sacrifice on the cross benefits you personally? In this way, Christ instituted this outward washing, and with it promised that as surely as water washes away the dirt from the body, so certainly his blood and his spirit wash away my soul's impurity, that is, all my sins. Question 70. What does it mean to be washed with Christ's blood and spirit? To be washed with Christ's blood means that God, by grace, has forgiven our sins because of Christ's blood poured out for us in his sacrifice on the cross. To be washed with Christ's spirit means that by the Holy Spirit we've been renewed and sanctified to be members of Christ, so that more and more we die to sin and live holy and blameless lives. And turn the page to question 72. Does this outward washing with water itself wash away sins? No. Only Jesus Christ's blood and the Holy Spirit cleanse us from all sins. And skip down one to question 74. Should infants also be baptized? Yes. Infants as well as adults are included in God's covenant and people. And they, no less than adults, are promised deliverance from sin through Christ's blood and the Holy Spirit who works faith. Therefore, by baptism, the sign of the covenant, they too should be incorporated into the Christian church and distinguished from the children of unbelievers. This was done in the Old Testament by circumcision, which was replaced in the New Testament by baptism. Now, just before the end of the year, I taught several lessons on infant baptism, so this morning I want to be brief. There are two overarching issues I want to pick up on from that catechetical reading. First, what is the nature of Christian baptism? And second, who should be baptized? I want to touch on both of those. Well, first off, fundamentally, baptism signifies union with Christ, of being one with Christ. It's a sign of our participation in his death and burial and resurrection. It's a visible sign that we live with Christ. We're built on Christ the rock. We're rooted in Christ the vine. We share in his status, his privileges. We enjoy his inheritance. We have rights, and this all by virtue of being united to Christ by faith. And specifically, the baptismal waters point to the washing away of our sin. And the Heidelberger captures this wonderfully. As surely as water washes away the dirt from the body, so certainly his blood and his spirit wash away my soul's impurity. That is all my sins. You see, in that way, the biblical language of baptism is as close as it possibly can be to the thing that it represents. That's called a sacramental union. Water washes away dirt. Christ's blood washes away sin. But the catechism keeps us from plummeting into error at this point by reminding us that the sign and seal is not the reality of the promise. Only Jesus Christ's blood and the Holy Spirit cleanse us from all sins. Now, I want to mention something that's very important here, and I've shared this before. We want to avoid two errors. Errors that Calvin would call the errors of mirage and magic. What happens in a sacrament is not a mirage. It's not a pretend blessing. Baptism is a sacrament. It is a means of grace. But neither is it magic. Baptism doesn't convey regeneration, nor does it presume it. It's a pledge to the recipient that in Christ they're forgiven and renewed. That brings me to the second issue, that is, who should receive this pledge? Or more specifically, who should be baptized? The Catechism reflects the historic Reformed and Presbyterian view. Infants as well as adults are included in God's covenant and people. And this is, in many ways, the nub of the issue and where we would differ as Presbyterians from our Baptist brothers and sisters. The sign belongs to those who are part of the visible covenant, those who are part of the church. That is, those who have made a profession of faith, as well as their children. B.B. Warfield, a great Princeton theologian, was engaged in a vigorous discussion with a friend of his era, a Reformed Baptist named Augustus Hopkins Strong, and they were going back and forth on the issue of infant baptism. And here's how Warfield sort of spoke to his friend, a wonderful theologian, I might argue. He said, the argument in a nutshell was simply this. God established his church in the days of Abraham and put children into it. They must remain there until he puts them out. He's nowhere put them out. They're still members of his church, and as such, they're entitled to its ordinances. And here's what Warfield was saying. When God established the covenant of grace with Abraham, the sign of the covenant, which was circumcision, was placed on everyone in Abraham's family. It was a visible sign and seal that all his descendants were included in the visible covenant community. When the covenant of grace was administered throughout the Old Testament, that's the way they did it. And as the covenant of grace moved into New Testament times and the sign of circumcision was replaced with baptism, and that promise didn't become null and void. The sign is for believers and for their children. And not because we know the children will eventually have saving faith. We don't know that. Abraham didn't know that. And as it turned out, one son, Isaac, believed. The other son, Ishmael, didn't believe. But they were both to receive the sign simply because God said, put it on them. Now, to sort of wrap up this catechetical lesson, I want to share what I find to be a very helpful quote from Dr. Donald McLeod. He's a Scottish theologian. I find it helpful probably because I'm a Presbyterian, so you'll have to bear with me. He asks the question, why do I baptize children? Is it because I believe that the infants of all believing parents are elect? No. Is it because I believe that the infants of believing parents will all one day be born again? No. It is because God gave me an ordinance. Put the sign of the spiritual covenant on the physical seed. At the very beginning of this arrangement, God put Ishmael and Esau there to remind us that we're not to do this on the ground that we know theologically how it's going to work out. We were to do it because God said to do it. In the cases of Ishmael and Esau, it seemed not to work. It wasn't related to any rationale of its effectiveness. It was done and is still done on the ground that God said, put the sign of my promise not only on yourselves, but also on your children. And so this morning we have the great joy of putting the sign of God's promise on Presley, Sophia, and Byron Neal Moddard. So let me invite Vinnie and Emily to come up front. Now I'm going to read three questions. Basically, these are vows. Let me say something. You have to understand what a vow is. It's making a proclamation before God, that yes, I agree to these things. So I'm going to ask them three questions. They'll respond. then I'm going to ask you a question. So be thoughtful before you respond. So, Vinny, Emily, do you acknowledge Byron and Presley's need of the cleansing blood of Jesus and the renewing grace of the Holy Spirit? And do you claim God's covenant promise for Byron and Presley? And do you look in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation as you do your own? And do you unreservedly offer Byron and Presley to God and promise in humble reliance upon divine grace that you'll endeavor to set before them a godly example, that you'll pray with and for them, that you'll teach them the doctrines of our holy religion, and that you'll strive by all the means of God's appointment to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord? So how do you answer? Amen. And then, brothers and sisters, this is a question for you. And if you agree with it, then simply respond, "We do, God helping us." But remember, this is a vow before God. Do you, as God's people, undertake the responsibility of assisting the parents in the Christian nurture of this child? How do you answer? We do, God helping us. Amen. Well, Presley first. Hi, Presley. Presley Moddart, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. May the Lord bless you. Byron Moddart, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. May the Lord bless you. Let me pray for you guys. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your goodness and mercy to us, to your people, to your covenant, to these little ones. We pray, O God, for your protection to be on them all their lives. We pray that they'll never know a time when they're outside of the umbrella of your care and your love. We pray in due time, according to your plan, the Spirit will regenerate them, give them the gift of faith, and that throughout their lives they'll know the Lord Jesus loved them and gave himself for them. Grant us this. Bless these precious ones. In Jesus' name, amen.